Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll discover a new VA study aimed at helping veterans in pain and meet one of our newest Yellow Ribbon networks. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Armed Forces Day is our annual opportunity for us to celebrate the service and sacrifices made by more than 2 million women and men in uniform throughout this nation's history. Today, service members make up less than 1% of the population, so it can be easy to forget those who wear the uniform, live here, work here, and serve amongst us right here in Minnesota. This week, I invite all of my fellow Minnesotans to take the time to get to know your military. Please join me in celebrating the service of our soldiers, Marines, sailors, airmen, and Coast Guardsmen on this Armed Forces Day.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to discuss today a study testing the effectiveness of two new programs to address chronic pain through mindfulness, the Learning to Apply Mindfulness to Pain, or the LAMP study. And joining us to talk about that is Diana Burgess, a PhD, a professor in the Department of Medicine at the University of Minnesota, and a core investigator and co-director of the VA Advanced Fellowship Program in Health Services Research at the Center for Care Delivery and Outcomes Research at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Dr. Burgess, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Doctor, can you share with us a little bit of your background, where you went to school, and how long you've been at the Minneapolis VA and, of course, the University of Minnesota?
Yes. So I graduated from Rice University in 1989 and did a number of things. And then I got a PhD from the University of Minnesota, which brought me from Houston to Minnesota. And then I did some work at Stanford Business School and then came back, and I have been in the Minneapolis VA since the end of 2002. And it's been great. My area is focused on applying psychological principles and behavioral health principles to now to pain. So I've been working in the area of pain management for a while, and we've all been getting much more interested in how can we help people with pain through non-drug approaches to pain management, really looking at the mind-body connection.
And, Doctor, we've seen and heard about some studies over the last few years about opioids and the overuse of opioids, and everybody, especially at the university and the Minneapolis VA, trying to figure out other ways to deal with chronic pain. Is that kind of your focus then?
Yes, this is one of 11 studies sponsored by something called the Pain Management Research Collaboratory. So it's funded by the Department of Defense, the National Institutes of Health, and the VA, and they've all sort of pooled money to test 11 different ways of treating pain without drugs in military and veteran healthcare systems. And the goal isn't to take medication away from people, but to move away from a reliance completely on opioids to a more multimodal approach where we use multiple things, including these non-drug approaches. And we're really focused on approaches for which there's evidence. So we're calling them evidence-based non-pharmacological treatment for pain or non-drug treatment for pain.
So, Dr. Recall, we're referring to your study as the LAMP study, which I understand means learning to apply mindfulness to pain. Can you explain, when you're talking about mindfulness, what is that?
Yeah, so mindfulness is generally defined as the ability to pay attention in the present moment in a non-judgmental way with really a lot of curiosity and compassion. And it's something that happens in your body as well as your mind. So I think a lot of people have meditated, and the idea is if you feel something, you know, pain, you could really get caught in a loop where you're angry maybe, there's a lot of feelings, you shouldn't have this, you're mad because you want to do something you can't, or you're frustrated, and there's a lot of what we call add-ons that just make the experience much more difficult than it has to be. And so mindfulness has been shown in many, many studies to help people with pain and also to help people do some of the things that will make them feel better, like seeing people. We call them adaptive pain responses. So being involved in social activities, exercising, using less substances. So part of it is what's happening in your mind and body, and part of it is just sort of really taking a space and thinking, how do I want to react in this situation? And it's kind of amazing that there's a lot of evidence that this can really help people, not only with their pain, but with a lot of conditions that often accompany pain, like anger and depression and anxiety and fatigue. So it's not a magic bullet, but there's a lot of evidence that it could help.
We're speaking with Dr. Diana Burgess from the University of Minnesota and the VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. The doctor, sometimes we have patients, I think, that are in such chronic pain that they can, that can be debilitating. Are you suggesting, as is what your part of the LAMP study is, that something as simple as going for a walk, something to take your mind off of it, some of these alternatives can help with that chronic pain? Is that what you're after?
Yeah, so there's the VA has identified a number of different non-drug approaches that all help with pain. And the idea is we're trying to help people build a toolkit with a lot of things that they can do. So we've talked to veterans that have talked about using some of the mindfulness practices to just help them relax a little bit and feel better. And over time, what we're really looking at is improving people's pain function. So that's how much does pain stop you from doing what you want to do in your everyday life? So we're really trying to build what we call these adaptive pain behaviors to get people doing the kind of things that they want to do, like sort of achieve their goals, playing with their grandkids, you know, going to work and so forth. So we're not trying to take it away. We're really trying to make the experience better and reduce some of those impairments.
Doctor, it sounds like if you can do some of those things, enjoy your grandchildren, stay busy, take your mind off the pain for a while, I'm hearing the suggestion is that can be helpful in managing that pain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the mind, we know the mind and the body are connected, and we think of that pain as having a biological component, but also a psychological and a social component. So we're trying to address all of those interlocking components.
Doctor, can mindfulness be helpful in, you know, if you're having trouble with stress or moodiness or a lack of sleep?
Absolutely. The original mindfulness-based intervention that's been studied the most is called mindfulness-based stress reduction. And that's what our program is based on. And the idea is you're reducing stress and you're improving a lot of these things that go together. So stress, depression, anxiety, bad sleep, and pain.
Doctor, can you give us just a brief update? You've started the study. Has it been interrupted by the pandemic? How long do you expect to be studying in at this particular point under the LAMP program?
That's a great point. So we did a pilot study, and it went pretty well. And then we were going to launch into our in-person study when COVID happened, and we made the decision to pivot to virtual, which this was in April in 2020, and people thought, maybe you should just, let's just wait it out. Things will get better. Well, I'm really glad we made that decision. And it turns out we run our mindfulness groups virtually in this one condition, and people really like them because they don't have to drive to the VA and park, and they can do it from their own home. So that's been great. Right now, we've enrolled, I think, 140 people in the study, and that's divided over three conditions. One group is just it's usual care. Another group does this mindfulness program on an app with a few phone calls from a trained facilitator. And the third group does this in a number of sessions, so 8 sessions with a trained facilitator over Zoom.
So like everything else in the last year, the pandemic has forced us to change a little bit and adapt to conditions. And so you're started without the in-person groups that you might have anticipated.
Yeah, and that's been exciting. We're going to do this in 4 sites, Minneapolis, Durham, Indianapolis, and L.A. But now we're having veterans from all of those places, but we're running it out of Minneapolis. And we expect that this will be completed, the data collection, in the next year.
Very good, Doctor. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Diana Burgess, a PhD at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, about the LAMP study. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Dr. Diana Burgess, who is with the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA Healthcare, and she's working on a LAMP study to test the effectiveness of non-drug approaches to chronic pain management in military and veteran health care delivery systems. And, Doctor, could you just tell us again, the LAMP study stands for Learning to Apply Mindfulness to Pain. What is the study, and what are you trying to achieve by studying chronic pain in our veterans and in our military?
Yes, well, as you know, veterans are disproportionately affected by chronic pain, up to 50% of male veterans, and up to 78% of female veterans report pain, and we're trying to get away from solely drug approaches. So we're testing two different interventions, a mindfulness intervention that you can do on an app over your phone, supported by a trained facilitator, and an 8-session group where you're learning mindfulness and you're discussing in a group your experiences with a trained facilitator. And the mindfulness is delivered by an instructor via a video. But the great part is it can be delivered by many different people in VA. We can use people called whole health coaches that don't have to be super trained on mindfulness, and they could teach these different skills to veterans to manage their pain. And there are conditions that go along with pain, like anxiety, fatigue, and so forth.
Well, Doctor, we discussed mindfulness in the first segment a little bit, but my understanding is that is about learning how to become more aware of your body, thoughts, and feelings. And by learning that, is the premise that that can help you deal with chronic pain in a fashion that allows you to cut back on some of the opioids and drugs?
Well, there's a lot of studies showing that mindfulness-based interventions improve pain, especially people's functioning, their ability to function well with pain. We call that pain interference. And also a lot of those, what we call, comorbidities exist, conditions that go along with pain. So it can really help. And we're trying to figure out why it works. There's not as much research about why. We just know it works. And one thing we're looking at is can this help people engage in what we call more adaptive behaviors and less maladaptive behaviors? So instead of kind of catastrophizing and clenching and getting stressed, and really tightening up and also maybe retreating and being more socially isolated, we want people to do what we call adaptive behavior. So exercising, engaging with other people, and having more positive self-talk. So we're trying to instill knowledge, skills, and also belief to make people feel like you can do things even with the pain.
Now, Doctor, for the purposes of this study, what type of veteran are you looking for to enroll as a participant?
Well, we are trying to enroll veterans on a large scale. So what we do is we identify veterans from the electronic health record based on whether they have a couple of chronic pain conditions, I think 18 months apart, and then and one of the sites, and then we send people a postcard in the mail, and then we let them know that we're going to be sending them an email. So at this point, especially if you're a woman at the Minneapolis VA, you probably will get a postcard inviting you to go online and see if you qualify through some other questions. And if you're a male veteran, we're sending it to a lot of people, so watch for the postcard. Right now, we're not recruiting people based on them coming to us, but we hope if this is successful, then we could roll it out to more people and anybody could participate.
So, Doctor, if you're chosen to be part of the survey, do they start out by taking some surveys? How does this work?
Yeah, you start out and you first do an online screener to make sure you have a phone, you'd be able to participate in 8 mindfulness sessions and another session to help you get oriented towards Zoom. And then then you take a baseline survey to measure your pain and these other conditions at baseline. Then we randomize you if you qualify and then give you a call to see we randomize you on the phone, and you will be placed in one of 3 conditions, either usual care, which means you will get the intervention at the end via your phone, but you'll just do care as usual. The mobile condition, where you do the whole intervention on your phone and you have 3 calls with the facilitator, and then the group condition, where you participate in basically 9 groups with other veterans via Zoom.
We're speaking with Diana Burgess, a PhD, a professor of the Department of Medicine, University of Minnesota, and with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. The doctor, once they're chosen, they go through a study. You talked about those 3 groups and indicated they'd be placed in one of 3 groups. And that first group, once again, was group mindfulness. Is that, I understand that's a 90-minute interactive sessions. And is that online? What do you talk about in those sessions?
So that's great. So it's very structured. So we have a facilitator who starts out by welcoming somebody and welcoming everybody. And then they always start out with a group discussion, and they do workbook reflections. There's a lot of practice. So there's always a video about the topic of the week. It might be, I'm looking at our manual, and it might be managing your pain through what you say to yourself. And then we have practice, we have group discussion, and so 1 week is a mind-body connection. And then there's question, feedback, and also interaction. Sorry,
That's all right, Doctor.
Talked a little long. Thank you.
And the second group is mobile mindfulness, and that's 8 weekly 30 to 60-minute sessions. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, so the mobile session, you do the same stuff, except you don't have the group experience. So you will watch educational videos on your phone. You will practice mindfulness using guided meditations, and then you will do something called mindful movement. This is the same stuff you do when you're in the group, except you don't have that group interactive component. You also, everybody in gets a workbook where they do reflection exercises. And if you're in the app group, the mobile group, you'll be talking to a trained facilitator in the beginning, the middle, and the end, just to learn about the program and somebody answer your questions and kind of orient you.
And, Doctor, the third group is a normal activity of 9 weeks. Do they get some instruction on what to do and how to be aware of mindfulness?
No, so that is just usual. You go about your usual business, and all groups, you fill out a survey in the beginning at 10 weeks, 6 months, and 12 months. And then after 12 months, the people in the usual care group can get access to the app and the workbook. So they will be able to have access to the program after it's all over. And that usual care group is designed so we can systematically see whether the other programs are superior to doing nothing different than what you normally do.
And, Doctor, what do you hope this project will lead to?
I would really like veterans to have an additional tool to manage their pain and another tool in their toolkit.
And, Doctor, you told us earlier that that you're trying to connect with women veterans, men veterans. We should watch for a postcard in the mail. And if you're suffering from chronic pain, respond to the postcard and get into this study, and let's see what we can learn.
Yes, exactly.
Doctor, it's been fascinating talking to you today. I hope your study goes well, and we'll look forward to a follow-up to hear how the study has gone when you're on the other end of it and what you've learned on how to help our veterans. And I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
That was Diana Burgess, a doctor with the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet one of our newest Yellow Ribbon networks. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet one of our newest Yellow Ribbon networks here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
America's men and women in uniform perform their duties with the utmost dignity, honor, and professionalism. Durable and sustainable peace is only possible by the efforts of their armed forces, both past and present, and their families. Our armed forces are also parents, spouses, partners, sons, and daughters. Members of the armed forces are forging a better future for our nation and the world. The freedoms we enjoy today would not be possible without their bravery, pride, courage, and sacrifice. I thank our armed forces for keeping America strong and secure. I wish all of our listeners a happy Armed Forces Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening of this segment, we're going to interview one of our newest Yellow Ribbon networks. And joining us here today to do that is our guest host, Jason Burley. Jason, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks very much.
And I know we've got some guests standing by and a special one for you to get started, so please go for it.
Great. Thank you very much, Tom. And joining us now is Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Annette, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jason. I'm happy to be here today to talk about our newest Yellow Ribbon Network.
Absolutely, and we're excited to learn as much about it as we possibly can. And as we welcome one of our newest County Yellow Ribbon Networks, perhaps you'd like to introduce both of our guests that we have on this morning.
Yes, well, I'd like to introduce two people from Hennepin County, but I want to say Hennepin County has been one of our partners on the Beyond Yellow Ribbon program since we started in 2008. But now we're going to make it official. It's becoming a Yellow Ribbon County within the state of Minnesota. So I'm very proud to announce someone who's been a true partner to our program, Neil Doyle, who's Director of Veterans Services for Hennepin County. And he's bringing along Deputy Owen Rice, who's the Deputy Sheriff for Hennepin County. And our law enforcement partners are so important to this program that we're so happy to have Deputy Rice on with us today.
Well, thank you very much and appreciate the introduction and welcome, gentlemen, to the program. First, as we just get started, maybe both share with us a little bit about your past military experience, how you're connected, and what role you play in Hennepin County and your roles and responsibilities there. And Director Doyle, we'll start with you.
Sure. So as Annette already introduced me, I'm Neil Doyle. I'm currently the Director of the Veterans Service Office here in Hennepin County. As far as my military background, I served 15 years in an infantry rifle company in Minnesota State National Guard, which included a deployment to Kosovo in 2004 and Iraq in 2006 and 2007. That's kind of my brief background, I guess.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Deputy Rice, a little bit about your military background. You have a pretty extensive background in what you're doing now with the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office.
I have 24 and a half years with the Army, both active duty and reserve time. First 16 plus or minus years, well, I was a combat engineer, and last eight, I was an interrogator. Medically retired in 2014. I've been with the Sheriff's Office since 2006, and I've worked in a variety of positions within the department.
Oh, thank you very often it's our former serving military members and veterans that are that gravitate towards organizations like the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. What was it that really drove you to the network, and what was it that Hennepin County was looking for as they decided to become a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network?
You want me to take that one on?
Yes, please.
All right. So really, in short, many of us just felt it was simply the right thing to do. I mean, as you stated, veterans bring a lot of know-how to our talent and talent to our organizations. Hennepin is one of the largest organizations in the metro area. And when I came to Hennepin County in 2017, I realized almost right away that the county was already doing a lot for veterans, both informally and formally. It just made sense for a lot of us to formalize it and ultimately be able to attract and retain more veteran employees as a result of being declared a Yellow Ribbon County. I mean, largely it sends the message to veterans that the employer that they are applying for has a vested interest in them right up front.
Thank you. We're speaking with Neil Doyle, Director of Veteran Services for Hennepin County, and Deputy Owen Rice, Deputy Sheriff for Hennepin County, here on Minnesota Military Radio. Owen, you know, the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office developed a program called the SMART Program, Sheriff's Military Activation Reintegration Program, to assist military employees returning to work after a deployment. Can you tell us a little bit more about that program, how it integrates with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network, and how those two programs might work together?
Certainly. The SMART program started in 2009 under Sheriff Rich Stanek, and it was designed with the idea that it provides support to both the service member and the family during and shortly after their deployments. That while a service member is deployed, what the Army pays them is obviously different than what Hennepin County pays them. So they have a finance person who helps them out finance-wise. They make sure they receive their orders and that they're squared away with any type of pay that the county has for someone who's deployed. The SMART program also develops care packages throughout their deployment, whether it be on or around the holidays or just for whenever. And then it also provides support to the family members as well. They'll receive care packages as well as any type of volunteer support, whether it be car maintenance, lawn care, snow removal, what have you, both during and shortly after. And I think it's a great idea. It's a long time coming.
As you were putting the program together, and you know, as going through the application process, as I remember it, when we did with our organization, huge component of that is how we support our actively serving military members with our employer. How does that relate to the rest of Hennepin County, Director? And is that a similar approach throughout the rest of Hennepin County?
I can speak to that. It's almost identically aligned. This is just another area that I saw as we started figuring out our action plan and why we needed to formalize it. There's just so many amazing things in different areas of the county, in different departments that we're already doing things for veterans, and this is a prime example. To where we needed to consolidate it all the ideas and really figure out what we were doing and go for the gold, really, and get the proclamation.
Indeed. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network is really a way of taking the practices we already have in place and formalizing those and then having the proclamation to, represent the broader network. One of the state requirements for a Yellow Ribbon County is to hire and retain military-connected employees. Director, what are some of the ways that Hennepin County, as a large employer in the metro area, is going to meet that commitment, or any unique ways that you've thought about of reaching the military community?
Sure. So several ways. I mean, historically, even when I came to Hennepin County, we had a Veterans Hiring Initiative contract in place. And since then, we've worked hand-in-hand with our Human Resources Department to organically attract and retain veterans. They've established many community contacts with agencies such as DEED, specifically with their veterans employment representatives. In addition, our HR staffs many job fairs in the county, and they attend many, if not all, the veteran-specific job fairs that the county has. And then lastly, HR actually staffs and has a standing member on our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Steering Committee that happens to be an active talent acquisition specialist.
It's always good to have a professional in that role, a professional recruiter to get us where we need to go. Hennepin County's got to be a significant home for many veterans. Do you have any idea how many veterans are in Hennepin County?
As a matter of fact, I do. Really, every year the VA publishes a document called the GDX Report. They usually publish that document every year in June, so we haven't seen the 2020 numbers yet. But as of 2019, there was approximately 58,593 veterans residing in the borders of Hennepin County, which equated to about 19% of the overall state veteran population.
That's a significant number. We have to take a short break, but we will be back with more on the Hennepin County Yellow Ribbon Network. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your guest host, Jason Burley, and we're talking today with Annette Kuiper, Director Neil Doyle, and Deputy Owen Rice about the Hennepin County becoming a Yellow Ribbon Network. Welcome back, everybody. I want to jump over to Deputy Rice and just a little bit about the connectivity of our sheriff's offices with our county government and the number of veterans that you see, you know, having an entry point into reintegration through law enforcement. What does that number look like, and how does the program potentially support members of the military reintegrating into a law enforcement position?
Unfortunately, I'm unaware of the numbers. My duty within the sheriff's office, I work in the jail division, but I can tell you that there are a lot of veterans that do apply to the sheriff's office, mainly because of the structure of the sheriff's office, similar to the military, and Hennepin County alone just being actually a really good place to work. A lot of very nice benefits, decent pay. So as far as the numbers of people, I'm sorry, I wouldn't be able to help you with that.
Well, I just wondered if, you know, just anecdotally, you feel that there's a great entry point for our veterans and military service members, which I'm assuming there is. And Neil, I don't know if you have the number of current serving military members or veterans that come back into Hennepin County, but I would imagine that...
We have approximately 700, anywhere from 300 to 600 and some veteran employees at any given time. Of an organization of about 9,000 employees. So the percentage makes up about the same, a little bit higher than the general population if you were to compare that to the veteran population, mainly because of the sheriff's office, because they employ a lot of veterans in the sheriff's office. But the longer you're with an organization that size, the more people you realize are veterans that may not have worn it on their sleeve. I mean, I'm always bumping into veterans in meetings and even virtually that I had no idea were veterans because they may or may not have listed that when they applied for employment.
You know, we find that many times that for whatever reason, military service members and veterans sometimes won't declare their status. Mm-hmm. The network typically draws them out, and we find more individuals that are serving. Clearly, you've found that to be the case. Have you seen the network energize other folks and other service members to come back to the table?
I have, specifically with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon efforts. Owen's a good example, actually. You know, he has barriers to becoming involved, yet he's still involved. He works at the jail, and, you know, the jail, they have their own practices and procedures over there that he has to adhere to, and he still joins our monthly meetings, and we're able to use a chat function. So we're leveraging technology to get more and more people throughout Hennepin involved. Prior to the pandemic, we used to meet at the Grain Exchange, which is a building that's right across from City Hall in downtown Minneapolis. But what we were finding is in that in-person environment, it limited how many people could become involved because Hennepin has a little over 100 buildings throughout the county. Now that a lot of people are on a remote platform, we're getting more activity and more people taking part in these events than we had pre-pandemic.
As you've stood up your network, what are some of the initial initiatives you guys are looking to work on or accomplish here as you get started?
We're definitely in that phase where we're going to start prioritizing initiatives. There's a lot of energy in the Veterans Employee Resource Group and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon to prioritize starting a veterans mentorship program in the county. There's a lot of veterans that struggle with resume building or translating their soft or hard skills from the military into a language that their civilian managers can understand, or hiring managers can understand. So that's one. And we're working with our employee career center around promotional opportunities for vets, how to do individual development plans, that sort of thing, just to enhance their career.
Well, it is definitely an exciting time for Hennepin County as you become the newest county Yellow Ribbon Network. I want to thank you, Director Doyle and Deputy Rice, for joining us today, and best of luck with the Yellow Ribbon Network for Hennepin County. And now I'll turn it back over to Annette and learn a little bit about what's happening around the Yellow Ribbon Network.
Well, thanks, Jason. Definitely, we're taking all of our Yellow Ribbon community networks and focusing them at a regional level. And Hennepin County is going to be a leader in that, helping unite the 11 Yellow Ribbon networks within Hennepin County. So to have a partner like Hennepin County and Dakota County and Isanti County that help us unite our community networks and support our community networks is only going to make our Beyond Yellow Ribbon program stronger. So we're excited for that. And as we join our Yellow Ribbon communities and companies together, we're getting stronger to fill the gaps in resources and support for our service members, veterans, and military families across Minnesota.
Annette, cannot thank you enough. Appreciate you being here as well today. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs.
Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Leader, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
You bet. Thanks, Tom, for having me on, and thanks to all your listeners for tuning in.
Sergeant Major, we got to start our conversation today with a tough one. You lost a troop. What happened?
We did. This last weekend on Friday, Master Sergeant Greiner from the 148th was driving to drill, and unfortunately an individual crossed the road up by Hinckley on 35W and ran into him and ended up killing him. So that was a huge shock and loss to the 148th and all the Minnesota National Guard soldiers and their families to have one of our airmen die that way. And you know, it's all tragic and sad. And he was essentially getting close to 20 years where he was going to end up retiring soon. So, you know, just a tragedy all the way around. And you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family and, you know, this difficult time.
We're sorry to hear that, Sergeant Major, and I'm sure that those people at the 148th have information on the services. While we're on the air side, I understand that some of our C-130s were overseas on a big mission.
Absolutely. It's always great when they can support the Army in doing different things, and the 133rd was just over there last month. Earlier this month, and they participated in the largest airborne parachute operation since World War II in Eastern Europe, which is just great having our Great Tails flying over there and supporting our active duty, Couple One Army soldiers.
Well, nice to hear about a good mission for the C-130s from the 133rd on that one. Sergeant Major, last time we talked about the Best Warrior competition, and we were moving on to the next level. I understand one of your soldiers made it through.
Yeah, absolutely. Sergeant Jacob Ellingson, if that name sounds familiar, he won last year Region 4 as the Soldier of the Year, and now this year he won Region 4 as the NCO of the Year. So he has continued to just do fantastic, and our soldier that competed this year, will not be going forward to the national competition, also did a phenomenal job in the fact that that individual, PFC Bruckner, was this is his first year within the Minnesota National Guard. So if you can imagine being able to master this, your 10 level skills that you needed to have to be a good, a great soldier, he's well on his way, you know, going forward for his career as well.
And he's moving on to rigorous training, isn't he?
You just keep stepping up. We're going to be sending him to air assault. So the way we reward soldiers on the Army side is we send him to really difficult schools. So he'll be going to a 2-week air assault course here following up his journey at the best warrior competition. And the good thing for both those soldiers and then the ones that finished second in the state competition, they'll be continuing on to Croatia in June to compete in the Croatian best warrior competition, which is going to be a very challenging event. It's more along the lines of like a Spartan competition. So anyone, any of your listeners are familiar with that, it's just it's like a 24-hour ruck march, essentially.
And Sergeant Major, I believe the Minnesota National Guard has two state partners in Europe. Of course, one's Norway, and we have the Norwegian Exchange, and Croatia is the other state partner, and they've got an event coming up. I understand you're going to travel over there.
Yeah, myself, General Mankey, and General Wickman will all be going to Croatia next week to attend their 30th anniversary of the Croatian Armed Forces, and it just so happens it's also the 25th anniversary of our state partnership. So we're going to go over there as part of the U.S. contingent. And then we're in addition to that, we're also going to be a part of their Distinguished Visitor Day for Immediate Response 21, which is a big exercise amongst like the Adriatic Five and those nations. Well, it's up to 15 nations, I guess, that are participating in that exercise.
And Sergeant Major, I understand that the reason for those state partnerships with Norway and Croatia is so that we can get some familiarity with those troops and be ready in case we're needed.
Absolutely. It just continues to pay dividends for us. It's a very small portion of what our national defense spends, but the dividends are, you know, the relationships that you build over the years and years going forward with those countries, and, you know, just having that interoperability amongst our nations is a, you know, something that just continues to pay dividends, like I said.
Very good, sir. And we just got about 30 seconds left. I imagine things are pretty busy up at Camp Ripley.
You know, it hasn't stopped. You know, one of the things that was really cool this past week, we had the USO actually was up at Camp Ripley providing, you know, snacks and whatnot for our soldiers while they were up there doing railhead operations and all the other things that go on with annual training. So that was a great boost to morale up at Camp Ripley.
Very good, sir. I want to thank you for joining us again today, Sergeant Major.
Thank you, Tom, and all your listeners.
That was Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Diane Burgess from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, Neil Doyle and Owen Rice from Hennepin County Yellow Ribbon Program, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, my guest host today, Jason Burley, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we get an update from Minnesota's Paralyzed Veterans of America and check with the Navy League on the status of the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at militaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.